Trinity Sunday is a unique liturgical occasion in our church calendar. The majority of people who have lived on planet Earth, today it's about 7.5 billion, have believed in God and still do believe in a God, but we don't all agree on the type of God. Jews and Muslims, Islam and Judaism believe in a monotheistic being, God, but not a triune God. We Catholics and Christians believe in the Trinity, not three parts in one God, not three gods, but three persons who equally are God. They have the same substance or nature. When Patrick, an Englishman by birth, went to the Irish, the Celts, he used the example of the three-leaf clover to explain the Trinity. And also you see images of the triangle. In the American dollar bill, there's an image of a triangle for God, three corners, one object. All are examples that don't really capture the reality of what we celebrate today. Firstly, the mystery of the Trinity is a mystery. It's supernatural, above the natural, above our human capacity. But it doesn't mean it's in contradiction or irrational. Yesterday at the baptism, I said to the family there, I said the Trinity can be scientifically explained, at least somewhat, by the example of water. The chemical compound of water as a substance is, and this little hand shot up, six-year-old, H2O, Father. I said, well done. H2O is exactly correct. We all agree. The substance of water, its nature is that, H2O. And yet, it comes to us in three kinds or forms. It appears as water falling from the sky, rain. It can come as a solid, ice or snow in the mountains if you're there this weekend. And of course, steam coming out of our kettle, awaiting us after Mass as a cup of tea or coffee. So, liquid, solid, gas are the three forms or manifestations of the one substance, H2O. We Christians believe there's a Father, a Son, and the Holy Spirit, three persons of the same substance, the same nature. And that's why in the Creed we'll say consubstantial, of that same substance God partakes, and yet comes to us in three forms or three manifestations. And today, the children being confirmed, we call them the confirmand, are going to receive the Holy Spirit. What happened at their baptismal day so many years ago is now reaching completion, fulfillment. It's not the icing on the cake or a capping, but rather the initiation has been complete. With baptism comes Holy Eucharist or Communion, and then confirmation. I love the word because it has firm in the middle, to make you firm in your faith. On that baptismal day when you were made a prince or princess in God's royal family and began your journey, which takes you unto eternity in the heavenly realm, the kingdom of God, your parents professed with godparents the faith. They stood up and before God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, professed their faith in your name. But today, you're going to stand up and profess that same faith in your name. The baton is in your hands, boys and girls, mothers and fathers. Pass it carefully. Don't drop what you have been given. The faith that we have today is precious, unique. It's a triune faith and one that we hold most dearly. Congratulations, parents, in passing this faith onto your children and having them baptized, having them brought into God's family, born again, having their soul connected to the spiritual world and the downloading of grace and the gifts and virtues. Today, these same children will now take the step
out into the aisle and into the world, to carry on that flame of faith forevermore. And we assure them of our prayers, and we entrust them today to God Almighty, asking their saints in heaven, because they're all going to be confirmed in a saint there to help us here, to bolster us, as we might say, in our faith. Doesn't that happen at a football match? The people on the side barrack, encourage the football players to do the right thing. Well, we're asking the invisible saints in heaven and our angels to inspire and barrack and encourage these confirmed children to keep the faith, to play the game of life well, and so that they might achieve their trophy, everlasting life in heaven. All these gifts have been given to us, and they're gifts from a triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to help you contemplate more this mystery. At some stage during the day, have a look at the great icon. I say great because it's not just traditional, but unique, of the Trinity done by a Russian called Rublev. I put it on the bulletin. It's a fascinating icon. Of course, it's in colour, and if you Google it onto your iPad or phone, you can see the richness of the colour. I put on my website an explanation of that icon because I think it's the best imagery we have of the Trinity. See, God the Father is not some Santa Claus with a big long beard in heaven. We know what Jesus looks like more or less because of the shroud and other insights we've received. And the Holy Spirit is not the dove floating around that we talk about. These are visual symbols to convey an invisible reality. The Father and the Holy Spirit are bodiless. They're far superior to us. We can't imagine them except in visual signs and symbols. And the symbol or the symbiology or the iconography of this icon is far more probing than most Western forms of art. And the more we soak up of the true God, the triune God, the more we become part of his spiritual life, our life also, because God dwells within. Having received all these blessings, we give thanks to God, and today on this Trinity Sunday, we make a pledge to him, a threefold pledge, because there are three persons in God. And the pledge involves something daily, something weekly, and something monthly. And children, if you keep this pledge, life eternal shall be yours. Daily we pray to God because God is real. We need him. We don't ignore him. We don't ignore our parents. We communicate with them. We converse with them. So too, God needs our prayers. Or rather, we need to pray to God. As we need air in the lungs to keep us living, we need prayer in our soul to keep us tuned in, connected. Don't give up your prayers. And in particular, the rosary in this anniversary year of Fatima. Weekly, we keep coming to Mass on Sunday. Sunday is that day God decreed that we worship him. Saturday night or Sunday is the day of the Lord. It's only 1 hour out of 168 hours in the week. It's a very easy thing to do. When we compare it to our sport commitments, our hobbies, and the amount of time we spend on the internet and other places, Mass, although we might not find it always enjoyable, we don't go for entertainment, we go to give rather than get. We give back to God for all the graces he's given to us. Weekly, we adore him. If we don't adore him at Mass on Sunday, we end up adoring something lesser than God, which then slowly suffocates our soul. Weekly leads to monthly. Monthly, we need to tune our soul. As our bodies get sick and we need them to be healed, lest we become worse, so too, monthly, we need to be healed in the sacrament of penance or confession. Confession is all about relationships. We break our relationships with others. It might be family members, friends. It might just be a sin against God. Whatever the case, he's rich in mercy. He's always there to forgive. And unlike us, he forgets. Go to confession monthly and you'll find life becomes easier. as we need him to help us cope. He's the divine physician, and he heals our soul, enables us to keep on going when others give up. So make that monthly appointment and you'll never regret it, and you'll also find the gift of being able to forgive others is very close to your heart. And forgiveness is something the world needs more and more today.
So we pray daily, weekly Mass and monthly confession.
That's our pledge to God on this confirmation day. Make it well and entrust it to God. It's easy to remember because God is a Father, a Son, and a Holy Spirit.